Since Nathan and Stephanie Morales have come to be a part of our church here, they've been such a tremendous blessing to me personally, and I've appreciated so much Brother Nathan's understanding and grasp of the Scriptures, and so we've asked him to come tonight to share what the Lord has laid on his heart from God's Word on this Christmas night.
Good evening and Merry Christmas to all. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to share my heart tonight, and that's pretty much what I'll be doing. It's something that Stephanie and I have talked about and just kind of gone back and forth, just trying to, you know, realize things in our life and how the Lord can, you know, work in our lives, mold us and shape us to be more Christ-like. And that's, you know, our goal as Christians for all of us is to, you know, allow God's Word to get in our heart. It's not just in black and white writing on a book, although we're very thankful that God has preserved His Word, but it's when it's mixed by faith, like Hebrews talks about. So let me begin with a quick word of prayer, and then I'll get to it. And I was assured I had a glass of water, but if I go for it, you're in trouble because I've gone beyond my time. So hopefully, Lord, thank you for your mercy to us, Lord, for your just your grace and your mercy, Lord. We thank you so much for what you have done for us, Lord God. We thank you as we look to you, Lord. Everything you've done for us, Lord God, was so unworthy, Lord. And you've done so much for us, Lord. You've given all you've got, all you have in your Son, Lord, to such an undeserving crowd and such sinners as we are, Lord. And we thank you for the message of the gospel that saves and transforms lives, Lord. We thank you that it began, Lord, with the Christmas story, although that was not its origin, but your incarnation, your taking on humanity began there, and what would seem against, man's wisdom, Lord, it was in your perfect plan, and we see it now, Lord, and we rejoice in it. Lord, bless this time around your word, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Recently, Stephanie and I have recently been talking about, you know, the subject of rejoicing, you know, joy. What is it that really gives us joy? Obviously, Christmas is, for most of us, a time of great joy. It's an occasion for us to celebrate, and we look at what the Lord has done for us, and we're just thankful. And, you know, it's really easy for us Christians to sort of see what's wrong with the world. You look at, it's not, you know, you don't have to go very far. You read the back of the bulletin, and it gives a great summary of, unfortunately, what the world has done with such a joyous event of, you know, basically just making an occasion for strife and materialism and all these things. And I began to think about, you know, how easy it is for us as Christians to see the wrong in the world, but sometimes things can creep up in our lives, and we're probably not as quick to see them. And so I began to think about the subject of joy and rejoicing and what really motivates us, what keeps us going. The Bible talks about in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so I think about the scripture also. Think about it. Christ, who is our joy, himself, the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So this is a very important topic. And so I began, especially me personally as a parent, you know, the saying, more is caught than taught. You know, we can stress to our kids by way of mouth what we believe is important and what we believe is worth rejoicing and things that really matter. And one thing is to say it, but, you know, they're looking at us. And this is not just a message for parents. You know, if you're in here, you're affecting somebody's life. This is for everyone. And so I began to think about, you know, in the scriptures, what it is that's a real reason for us to rejoice in. Obviously, you know, some of this came about, you know, we partake in the tradition of gift giving, and, you know, you start thinking about, especially at my children's age, it's kind of funny, some of the hints and different things that go along with the gift giving, and, you know, you know you're going to surprise them, and you just picture that in your head, and all these different little silly things that go on, and I'm by no means saying that it is wrong to have joy in those things. That's not what I'm talking about at all. The gist of my message, what's been in my heart, is it would be a shame for a Christian to find more joy in these temporary things than to find joy where true joy comes from. And I believe that's part of the story. obviously, when we look at the story of Christmas in the scriptures, it was not quite like what we do Christmas today. There was some joy, but there was a lot of perhaps confusion and fear and things going on, and not a full understanding of how we've been revealed through God's word. But I wanted to basically focus on reasons to rejoice as Christians. And so I began to look at the scripture, and the first account that I when talking with Stephanie that I recalled is, you know, Jesus had basically ordained 70 of his followers, and he goes out and he basically tells them, look, I want you to go preach the gospel, go door to door. If they don't listen to you, shake the dust off your feet. And a little while later, the 70 come back with joy. They come back with great joy, and they're excited. You know, this is not an inward pious joy. This is an outward, whoo, we came back. Even the demons are subject unto us, Christ. Can you believe that? There was great joy. I'm reminded of, on a side note, one of my favorite passages of the birth of Christ, the account. It's as soon as Mary gave her salutation to Elizabeth, John the Baptist, he leaped for joy. We're talking outward emotion. We're talking something that, although the Bible, I believe, wholeheartedly teaches that we should serve God in spirit and in truth, it doesn't say that we ought to refrain from outward joy. Now, there's a place for it, obviously, and the Bible teaches that everything should be done in decent and in order. But what I'm trying to get at is there was some outward joy. There was some really genuine, heartfelt joy and happiness. And so, even though, again, what we see in the scriptures was different than what we see today, I began to think about that. And back to the passage in Luke, and Jesus' response to them, he said, you know what? He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And he goes on to say different things about what he had done. But he said, you know what? In these things, don't rejoice. But rather rejoice in what? That your names are written in heaven. Isn't that interesting? What they were rejoicing about necessarily wasn't a bad thing. They were doing the will of God. Jesus had sent them out. They were doing his work. They were spreading the gospel. Yet our Lord and Savior, he said, you know what? That's in essence, really, that's temporary. They were healing people. There would maybe come a time when they would be faced with a sickness that they couldn't heal. But he said, rejoice not in these things, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We're also told in Luke chapter 15 about the lost sheep or the lost coin. And he says, I tell you, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. And then as you look at that and you start to wonder, okay, have I ever truly rejoiced in my salvation? It's not just a one-time thing, oh, praise the Lord, I'm saved. This is something that we ought to live by. Jesus said, I want my joy in you to be full. And I believe we can gather from that and truly have joy that our names, those of us who have professed faith in Christ, that our names are written in the book of Lamb, in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And that's a great source of joy. Again, think about it. That will never be taken away from us. That is something we can rest our heads at night. When we think about that is, you know, I've shared this before. I was 18 years old, and I remember as a lost sinner, it's not that I didn't want to get saved. I didn't know how to be saved. And I remember just wishing I knew that I was saved. And when I got it, it was so good. And I rejoiced greatly in it. And I still to this day thank God for saving my soul, knowing, like the Bible teaches, that we can know that we're going to heaven when we die or by way of rapture. And that's a great source of joy. Another thing that I thought about in reasons to rejoice is rejoice in the Lord's mercy. And recently I've shared a testimony regarding the mercy of the Lord and how just awesome it is, how struck I am by His mercy. Psalm 37:1 says, I will be glad and rejoice in Thy mercy, for Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. If you look at the account in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, about the rich man that died and went to hell, you know what the very first thing that he asked for? He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. The very thing that is so prevalent right now for everyone that is alive is God's mercy. Once you cross that line of death, there is no more mercy. That was the very first thing that he asked for. But it's not just for lost sinners. Guess what? When David committed his sin with Bathsheba, we have an account of his repentance in Psalm 51. What did he say? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy mercies, blot out my transgressions. Create in me a new heart. And he goes on to say, blot out mine iniquities. Wash me and I shall be clean. He cried out for mercy. And I think sometimes as Christians, we maybe perhaps like to think that everyone in here has reached a plateau where they no longer need God's mercy. We need God's mercy every day. The Bible says it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. The reason why every one of you were able to come into this building and you're still breathing is because of God's mercy. And that is the truth. We live by God's mercy. And that is a source of comfort and joy. That's something that lasts is His mercy. Another thing that I thought about and rejoicing, and most of this came about, you know, I think is so important for our next generation. It's not doing it for the sake of our next generation, but doing it out of genuineness that we truly do have joy in the Lord. But it's so important for our next generation to come up seeing that. Now we get more excited about the things of the Lord than we do about an iPad or a new gadget or gizmo or a new car, whatever it is. Again, I'm not saying those things are wrong, but I think it's wrong when we don't value and we don't physically have an excitement about the things of the Lord in our life. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I want to share with my family and with all of us. I think about the Lord's, you know, I rejoice in His works. The Bible says that even God rejoices in His works. Every year, well, for the last recent year, Stephanie and I take the kids. There's a neighborhood in Fort Walton Beach, and if you need directions, I have to explain it to you. I can give you directions. But basically, the whole neighborhood gets together, it seems like anyways, a good majority, and they completely deck out the whole neighborhood in just outward displays of Christmas lights. It takes you about a half hour just to drive through it. It's just this enormous neighborhood that power bill probably will make them go into debt or something like that. But it's very, very, very easy on the eyes. And of course, the kids and I and Stephanie, I don't know who enjoys it more, me or the kids. But anyways. And you know, we see a lot of man's doing and man's work, but I've yet to see anything man-made that beats the majestic mountains that God created. The stellar skies at night, the morning sun, the daybreak. You know, God is such a wonderful God. When we think about the intricate design of nature and the perfect balance that it is, we serve an awesome God. And not only do I rejoice in His works in creation, but I rejoice in His dealings with us. What does the Bible say? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Last year about this time, I shared a message on the gift of seeing God's hand. And I'm so thankful when it happens, and I praise God for it. There's been many a times when Stephanie and I have been dealing and trying to bring our kids and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's not uncommon for pastor or the Sunday school teacher to reinforce that. And that excites us. That's such a joy to know that God is working in their hearts and in our hearts. And we see that. And I rejoice in the Lord for that. I also not only rejoice in His dealing with us, but in answering prayers. As most of you remember recently, Pastor Todd, during Wednesday night, made it a point to emphasize, look, any time that we have an answer to prayer, we need to really pause. Remember that? We need to pause and thank the Lord of heaven that He is merciful. He reached down. He heard our cry. He answered our prayers. That is something so awesome that we can't even comprehend that He would listen to us and answer our prayers. And when we see that, we rejoice in it. We've seen it time and time again. We've heard it recently with my nephew, Matthew. Stephanie and I can tell you that the doctors had us thinking the worst was already accomplished and the Lord had mercy. And so we rejoice in the Lord and in His mercy to us, His works. And finally, you like that word, finally? I mean, how many of you like that word? Now, if I'm anything like the Apostle Paul, that's my first finally. There's a couple. I'm not claiming to be anywhere near the Apostle. Anyway, not that I'm comparing myself with him. Finally, rejoice in the Lord. You know, when we think about the Lord Himself, He's holy. He is love. when we use words and adjectives to describe people, sometimes we describe each other, that's a sweet person, that's a loving person. He himself is love. He's not described by it, he is love. And so when we think about what it took for him to reach down from heaven, how much love it took, it's just unimaginable to think what he went through for our salvation. You know, most of you have heard it before, but you know, there was no mercy extended to the angels when they fell. They didn't get a second chance. What is man that thou art mindful of him? It's just, it is of the Lord's mercy and his love toward us. I'm reminded, I say this, and I'm not a prophet by any means or the son of a prophet, but, you know, we live in a country that obviously has been blessed by God, and regardless of how media and other people try to change that, but obviously our country is not going the right path. And unfortunately, politicians are not going to do it. Democrats won't do it. Republicans won't do it. And this country seems to be headed towards a spiral. And I believe it's very possible that we could see some dark days ahead before the Lord raptures us out. And I'm reminded of the prophet Habakkuk. He lived during a time that basically the Lord was basically going to bring judgment. And in Habakkuk chapter 3, he cried out. And he said, Lord, revive your works in the midst of the years. He was still hanging on. He was praying. He wanted a turn from the nation of Israel. And down in verse 17, it seemed like basically he wouldn't get to see that revival that he so earnestly prayed for. And he goes on to say, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I mean, we're talking bad times here. This is prior to Jerusalem being besieged, and the Lord allowing that to happen as his judgment. And he knew it was coming. And despite of all that, he said this. He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know, it's easy to joy when things are going good. It's easy to joy, you know, basically to joy when the bank account is balanced and there's still money for a little bit on the extra and all these things. But what if we start seeing some times ahead that are not so easy? What if all the excess is gone and we're living day to day? That's when it matters what your joy really is, what you're really putting your, what really motivates you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what really matters, and that's what's going to last. Nothing wrong against, you know, again, with some of the things that the Lord and the blessings that the Lord allows us to enjoy. But let us be faithful to remember the giver and not the gift. Let us be faithful to remember that every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you're merciful to us, Lord. Thank you that we can have strength in you, Lord. We can have joy, Lord, and we can rejoice in time to come, Lord, because of your Son and because of his return. And we pray, Lord, with John, even so come, Lord. We look forward to being with you, Lord, and thank you so much for all you've done for us. Bless the night in Jesus' name. Amen.